Let's join together and let's pray for Bronson and prepare our hearts for the worship proclamation. God, we just get to join with shouting from the rooftops who you are and what you mean and really what you've done for us. I know that sounds so egocentric in that way, but we really, it is what you've done for us that makes us be able to celebrate. But we can also come together and see what you're doing in each other. In that, God, we just pray that Bronson just gets to experience your grace and your love. We know that he already has in so many ways. But for this moment, just allow him just to just have a place and just be open and clear on what you have to say, what he has been experiencing with you. Prepare our hearts, God, so that we can also join him in celebrating what he has to say. May your glory come. Be here. Be present. And we also, in turn, will be present with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What's that? Mr. Rogers, yes. It is cold up here. The sun kind of went away and it got a little breezy. Thank you. The check is in the mail, Rick. Well, now that I have the mic, I just would like everybody here to join me in prayer for my little brother. Lord, just be close to my brother, closer than a heartbeat, and close enough to soothe him, and thank you for your grace and your faithfulness over him and all of us, really. Lord, in faith, we look to you and ask you for redemption and healing over him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I got a little brother, and he's doing drugs, and they're working him real bad. So, thanks for the prayers, guys. Now I get to preach about joy. And it's an objective kind of joy today. It's like the joy's on the way sort of thing. And I think that is grounded in scripture, and I'd like to go over some of that with you guys today. But first, let's talk about the more serious things. Which I'm not usually I'd be joking, but today I was going to talk about Viktor Frankl, who's a Holocaust survivor. And that guy, he was able to make it out and actually help people find meaning in their lives after he survived the Holocaust. Someone like Viktor, he would say that even suffering has meaning, and that's what got him through. He says life has meaning. Don't ask yourself what's the meaning of life. He says it's your responsibility to respond to life asking you. So I think of people like Victor and the guy who wrote, the Amazing Grace song and the Christmas Bells song. What's that, Brad? I hear the Christmas Longfellow. He lost a kid in the war, all sorts of traumas, you know. And these people come out on top somehow, like with joy, you know, like Heather said. Thank you. That's hot. Very hot. And I contrast that with people like Chris Farley, you know, a comedian that overdosed. The guy had everything, you know. He had fame and he was loved. I think about Robin Williams, someone I've looked up to like my whole life. I just think the guy's hilarious, and he hung himself, you know. This is a rated R sermon. It's like those two things just don't add up. Why would somebody with everything just take it all away from themselves or just come captive to such loss? And then why would someone with everything taken away from them? I mean, like everything, food and fellowship, friend, like even hope of getting out of the camp wasn't even there. But somehow Viktor Frankl was able to find meaning in every choice he made, that he said, I'm a human being, for goodness sakes, and I can choose to go on. That's my choice, you know? Just incredible lessons to learn from that guy. So I ask myself, how can I rejoice when my little brother's hurting so bad and hope is just barely there, you know? And I came to realize a little something, that the world often promises joy but delivers sorrow. The kingdom and Christ promise suffering but gives us joy. So here we go. We're going to look at some scriptures and explore. So, Old Testament joy, New Testament joy, and God's joy. I got three parts. Marquita, I know you're proud of me. Woo! Yeah! Taking that victory. Yeah. All right. So in the Old Testament, joy was not bottled up. It was shouted and proclaimed and, you know, exultation and cheer, the sound of joy. It was also, you know, a state of being and an inner emotion, just like we know today. And the personal joy that you see in the Old Testament is based out of the joy of the Lord. It's, I rejoice. I rejoice because God's protection, his forgiveness, his restoration, his fellowship. There's also national joy or cultic joy that you see in the Old Testament. Like if at the dedication of the temple, right? Ezra 3 is like one of my favorites ever. Was that Mariah who said sorrow and joy can kind of be together? Well, in Ezra 3, there was weeping so loud and shouts of joy just as loud you couldn't make out the joy from the the joy from the sorrow. It was just an amazing passage. So, national joy in the Old Testament was usually feasts or dedications or communal rejoicing. And that is we rejoice, right? And that's what we do today. Like, we rejoice together. That's what we're going to do tonight at the Orange Circle. Rejoice together. So in the Old Testament, they are rejoicing because of what God does, but also who he is. Not just the blessings, but his character, right? He is Savior. He is faithful. He is good. He's full of steadfast love. They were rejoicing in the Lord, who he is. I'm going to read a scripture, Zephaniah chapter 3. You guys can turn there in your Bibles. Thank you. The word joy appears 8 times in just these few passages. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughters of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, on that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let your hands not grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, O mighty one, who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt you over you with loud singing. And then it says, I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. And he goes on to say, I will restore your fortunes. So in the Old Testament, it was often, a lot of times in the prophets, where you would see the blessing of the Lord would come when people were righteous and when people were doing good things, when the king was, you know, reading the law, and when they were in right with the Lord was close to them and blessing them, and it was like joy and exultation and everything was cool, right? But when they weren't walking in righteousness, when they were stealing things and, you know, living in sin, then you would see that kind of disappear, right? And in the prophets too, like the Lord would kind of take away his blessing and the joy would turn to mourning. But very prevalent in the Old Testament, in the prophets, is this future joy. This like, yeah, the Lord's turned his face, but he will come back and he will bless you again. Damn it. Rated R. Yeah. It's there. There's this day of rejoicing that the prophets always pointed to. Like, let's go to one. Okay. I love it. That was one right now where we just read Zephaniah. But they say the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you, And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. That's that objective joy that the Lord's put on my heart today. For us, it's in the New Testament as well. Did somebody else write my notes, or was this me? Okay. So in John 10, verse 28, I'll start at verse 22. We'll get a running start. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than I, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." It's this hopeful kind of joy. It's this hopeful, it's this promise that we're kind of waiting on the mail a little bit, you know? We're waiting for that check to come in the mail. And in fact, the check is in the mail, that term is kind of like sarcastic, right? Well, I think joy looks sarcastic sometimes. Like, oftentimes I kind of get annoyed with people who are just so giddy. That's right, Daniel. Not, we see eye to eye there, but no. But it's like this, it's like, really, dude? Really? Did you just get saved? Like, do you hear that? Do you guys kind of understand what I'm saying? Like, why do we do that? Like, why am I doing that? And I think a lot of times that we ought to repent for that, and because we're called to rejoice. And I see people rejoicing, and usually I get annoyed, and I want to say, I shouldn't do that anymore. Sorry. I used to be more joyful, I think. You know, this life, it just wears you down, and I'm 30 tomorrow. I still, yeah. But, you know, a lot of life lived, I guess, and a lot more to go, right? I'll be more gracious in 30 more years. More compassionate too, probably. Yeah, thanks, Tim. Tim said, "Don't be too hard on yourself, Bronson." Well, thanks. But our joy is in our salvation, and we can't forget to look at that. We can't forget to open the mail the Lord has sent us on Easter, on Christmas. The Lord has sent us this promise that not only will we rejoice, but He will rejoice over you and me. He will rejoice over you and me. He will rejoice. And even in the sufferings, we're called to rejoice. You know, it produces endurance and character. And like Mariah and Heather were saying, it's like there's a joy to be had, even though. And a local pastor and I were talking the other day, and I was like, yeah, man, I've been stressed and just having a hard time. And he's like, you know, being a Christian is so cool because if we don't quit, we win. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's the kind of joy that's there. That's available. And the check is in the mail. Jesus came, and it's like we get to cash that thing. And I want you guys to, you know, get your stimulus check and just look at that thing and say, all right, this is nothing compared to what I'm getting. I don't know if we're getting another one, but who cares? oh, man. Yeah, we definitely get to cash that thing, and the promise is that even if you can't rejoice, the Lord will rejoice, and we just got to hang on to Him. He's going to rejoice over us. It's so beautiful. And I think that's how I can rejoice over my little brother, is that I think one day the Lord will be rejoicing over him. And if you guys are struggling with drugs or divorce or alcohol or suffering somehow with something, you know, greed, anger, if you guys aren't saved, if you're like scared about not being saved, if you're struggling with pornography or something, anything, I just want you to know that there's still meaning for your struggle, and you were made to be His. You're made to be rejoiced over, and repent as soon as you can, and you know, get filled up, because usually, I mean, there's a proverb that says the he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry even the bitter thing is sweet. And the Lord will fill us up. You know, we have something good to look at. We can just look at that check He's given us, that we're gonna be okay if we just hold on. And even I know Christians that are struggling right now, and I just tell you to hold on, that they'll be rejoicing come. So, Old Testament joy, New Testament joy. Let's go see some New Testament joy real quick. And I already kind of went into God's joy, but that's okay. It's okay, Bronson. Romans 12. All right. Romans 12, verse 15. This is good stuff. Okay. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So rejoice with those who rejoice. That's what I wanted to see in that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. If you guys are having a hard time finding joy, go be with that joyful person that bugs you, you know, because he's probably reading the mail, man. Every day, I swear, I think I have a friend, his name's Josh, and I like him. And at first he annoyed me, but he's like always, he's always so happy. He's like, what's up, bro? You know, how you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm okay. And he's like, all right, I love you, man. Give me a hug. And he just loves me. And he's like, he's always with the Lord. That's the thing. He's like fellowshipping with the Lord. We've prayed together, and he prays things like, Lord, let me just give it all to you today. Let me just give it all to you. Like, thank you, God, so much for saving me. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your promises. Thank you, God, for your healing power. Thank you. Like, this guy, he's just reading the mail, you know? He's in touch with the goodness of God. It's awesome, and I need to be more so. Today I wanted to acknowledge a few people here that are good at finding joy, and people who I've heard them kind of call me out, like, hey, praise the Lord, you're suffering. That's good. That'd be Tara Warner. I got you something. Can we get some tissues, please? Daniel Garcia. He calls it peeling back layers. He's like, the Lord is just peeling back layers, you guys. Just hang in there. We'll be beautiful one day, so. So I gave flowers to people who encouraged me to rejoice, and that was Tara Warner, Diana Ott, Daniel Garcia, Riley Steiner, and Brad. And there's more, you know, I just thought, and I gave myself one too, just to be funny. That was honestly just for humor. Yeah, we're supposed to rejoice with each other, you guys, so let's keep doing that. And mourn when we need to mourn, too. So, all right. That was the New Testament joy. If you don't quit, you win. Now, God's joy. Back to that. That is the most objective joy there is. That God, even though we just drop the ball over and over, He's a good dad, and He's not going to let us go. That's not in His character. My dad. Yesterday, he basically just held my brother down. Because my brother's about to die. Not today. No. My dad got on him and said, I know you're in there. I'm not going to let these demons get you. And he held my brother down. And my dad's a lot bigger than my brother. And bless him, my brother's been doing drugs, so he's not strong. But yeah, well, I guess it was a good fight either way, but he's like, I'm not going to let you die. And he got him on a plane, and he's in Florida now at a rehab center detoxing. So, yeah. Yeah. But that's definitely our Lord, you guys. He's like, I'm going to send my son, Jesus, to save you. Just reach out to Him and give Him your life, and He's going to save you. And we have that. Like, we have that Father. He's not going to let us go. Like, if you're saved, if you've confessed Christ as your Lord, I don't care how far you go, He's going to get you on the ground and say, like, stop it, you know? It's a beautiful thing. It's kind of not the same story as the prodigal son, but it's still righteous. It's still the Lord. Amen. So even the Old Testament looks past the weeping towards the day of rejoicing. And even in the New Testament, we have our promise. We have the Holy Spirit that gives us our joy that we can look to and be reminded that the day of the Lord is coming. There'll be no more weeping on that day. All right. So Jude 24, that's like a benediction I wanted to read. I know. Are you doing benediction, Daniel? All right. I'll do the benediction then. That's fine. How much time we got? Okay, please stand. Where did it go? First, I'm just going to read Revelation 19 real quick. Once more, they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up and forever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And from the throne came a voice, "Praise our God, all you his servants, all you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure." All right. It's coming. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." Amen. All right. Go and be the Lord's delight. Amen.